Tonight we have a teaching on the topic of the Nativity of Jesus, and it will be given by Janet.
This talk was also taken from that book, This Mystical City of God. So as before, I've told you, it's from Sister Agreda through the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it's not church dogma. It's got the imprimatur, but use your own discretion. I found this part very interesting. It was the Nativity of Jesus, and I'm thinking, well, I'm never gonna look at the Gospel of Luke the same, you know, the account of Jesus being born. I'm never gonna look at it the same way, because I'm gonna think of all these details that I've learned what this said in this book. Here we go. So after Joseph and Mary were married, Mary, wanting to submit herself out of obedience, considered Joseph to be the head of the household, and she submitted to him on all matters. Joseph reluctantly accepted this because he considered himself submissive to Mary, since she is the mother of God. But Mary, in her profound humility, insisted that she would be obedient to God first and Joseph secondly. When they were married, you know, back then the wife always had to be obedient and submissive to their husband. So Mary took on that role just like any other wife back then. There were many things that Mary knew that Joseph didn't, because God had revealed many things only to her. She would always ask God first as to what and when she could reveal certain information to Joseph. So when Joseph heard of the news that he had to go to Bethlehem for the census and taxes, he did not want to take Mary with him because of her advanced pregnancy, but he also did not want to leave her behind in case the baby would be born while he was away. Mary already knew that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem because of the prophecies, but Joseph was unaware of this at that time. Joseph then asked Mary to pray about this decision as to whether she should travel to Bethlehem or not, and so they both prayed about it. God then instructed Mary to tell Joseph that she should go with him to Bethlehem. God sent 9,000 more guardian angels to accompany them on this trip, since it was known that they would be encountering several trials and tribulations on this journey. And according to this book, Mary was about 15 years old at the time. So Joseph felt better about taking Mary with him to Bethlehem, knowing that God would be with them and provide for them. Joseph had some family and friends in Bethlehem and planned to stay with one of them when he got there. So just an FYI, I looked it up. Nazareth is approximately 90-ish miles from Bethlehem. So that's how far they had to travel. And that's when taking a longer route. So the shorter route was believed to be more dangerous because of all the thieves that were along the way. So they took the longer route to be safer. When they set out for this journey, Joseph first went into the town and found a donkey for Mary to ride on. They took 5 days of food, and Mary took her handmade clothes for Jesus. Unbeknownst to Joseph, Mary had already made some clothes for Jesus and brought them with her because she knew Jesus would be born there. This journey occurred in midwinter, of course, over in Israel. The 10,000 guardian angels, which is Mary's 1,000 guardian angels plus the 9,000 that were given for this trip, they traveled together with them and provided assistance for both of them. While they traveled, the angels made the daylight last a little longer so they could travel easier and safer in the light. And as they walked, Joseph and Mary sang with the angels, and some of these angels were invisible form, and they praised and prayed to God. There were taverns along the way, which I never really thought about. If you're taking 5 days or more to get there, where do they sleep at night? But apparently they had some taverns available along the way, but because they were poor, they were treated harshly and looked down upon. Some of these taverns would not let them in, or some of them would give them the worst places to rest. During part of their trip, There was a harsh rain and a snowstorm, and still no place would allow them in. So they found and stayed at a stable with the animals. These animals recognized Jesus and Mary and showed them kindness by retreating in reverence when they entered the stable. Of note, Mary had the ability and power given to her by God to command the weather according to her wishes, but she did not do so because she wanted to suffer in imitation of what Jesus would do. Mary wanted to suffer in the same ways as other humans do and offered these sufferings up to God. God did permit the angels, however, especially Saint Michael, to help shield her from the bitter cold and rain and helped her along when she was getting tired. And I'm sure that was to protect Jesus that she was carrying. They finally arrived in Bethlehem at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. From St. Luke's Gospel, we have heard the story of how there was no room for them at the inn. According to the Blessed Virgin, via Sister Agreda, they tried over 50 different inns and were turned away by all of them. By 9 o'clock, that's 4 hours later, 9 o'clock that evening, Joseph finally gave up and finding a place for Mary, but remembered that there was a cave just outside the city walls where the sheep and the shepherds were. When they arrived at the cave, they immediately knelt down and thanked God instead of feeling bitter or resentful. They prayed for all those that rejected them or were less than nice to them. Mary then started to clean the cave to prepare for the birth. Joseph and some angels also helped to clean and prepare for the birth, although Joseph was still unaware that the baby would be born this night. After they ate some dinner, Mary felt that the time of the birth was imminent, so she told Joseph to go sleep and rest. It's like, I'm in labor, but go sleep and rest. He urged Mary to do the same, but he didn't. He was not aware that Mary was starting. She never had labor pains, by the way. So Joseph went to another part of the cave to pray, and then he was placed in a state of ecstasy. He stayed in the state of ecstasy until he heard Mary call for him. Meanwhile, in Mary's resting place, she was called by the voice of God, and she also went into a state of ecstasy. In Sister Agreda's words, immediately also she was filled with new enlightenment and divine influences until she reached the clear visions of the divinity. The veil fell and she saw intuitively the Godhead himself in such glory and plenitude of insight as all the capacity of men and angels could not describe or fully understand. All the knowledge of the divinity and humanity of her most holy Son, which she had ever received in former visions, was renewed, and moreover, other secrets of the inexhaustible archives of the bosom of God were revealed to her. End of quote. She remained in this state of ecstasy for over an hour. When she came out of this state, she began to feel Jesus to move and to come out of her womb. And like I said, she never experienced ever any labor pains. Jesus was born at midnight on a Sunday. Saint Michael and Saint Gabriel received Jesus into their arms after he was passed out of Mary. And then they in turn gave Jesus to Mary in her arms. Even though Jesus was born in the usual and natural way as other humans, Mary's virginity was kept intact. When Jesus and Mary looked into each other's eye for the first time, Jesus said to her, because he was able to talk, quote, Mother, become like unto me, since on this day for the human existence which thou hast today given me, I will give thee another more exalted existence and grace, assimilating thy existence as a mere creature to the likeness of me, who am God and man. End of quote. From this moment on, Mary was able to understand the interior acts of Jesus' soul in order that by imitating him, should we become like him. All of the heavenly angels went to the cave when Jesus was born and adored and praised him. And after much prayer and dialogue with the Father, Mary called Joseph, who, during his ecstasy, was informed by divine revelation all the mysteries surrounding this birth. And when he saw Jesus in the arms of Mary, he adored and worshipped him. She then wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. God then sent an ox to the stable, and Jesus was placed in the manger between the ox and the donkey because they kept him warm by their breasts. The ox and the ass prostrated themselves before Mary and Jesus, fulfilling the prophecy. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel hath not known me, and my people hath not understood. That's from Isaiah chapter 1. After Jesus was born, Saint Michael was sent to limbo to announce whatever you call limbo, the place where people were before heaven, to announce to all the inhabitants there of the birth of Jesus. Saint Gabriel was told to go to Elizabeth, which Mary's cousin Elizabeth, and her baby John to announce his birth. But Elizabeth was not permitted to go to Mary because this event was to remain secret, except for a select few, and for the safety of Jesus. Other angels were sent to Zachary and Anne of the temple, and to some other holy people who God entrusted this information. Of the people who were in God's graces, even though they weren't directly told of the birth of the Messiah, they felt in their hearts a supernatural joy of which they were uncertain of the cause. The star that the Magi were to follow appeared in the sky, and the Magi took notice. Even the insensible creatures were affected. The other stars shone brighter in the sky. Trees started to bloom, etc. Some temple idols were thrown down, overturned, and the demons were put to flight. The Magi were individually, interiorly, and intellectually informed by the angels that the Redeemer was born, and made it known to them that he was born in poverty and humility, and they were inspired to immediately to go search for him. It was the fourth watch of the night that Saint Gabriel announced to the shepherds in the nearby fields of the birth of Jesus, and Jesus in turn filled them with a higher knowledge of the divine mysteries of the incarnation and redemption of the human race. In order to conceal Jesus' true identity for a certain time, Jesus was outwardly raised as any other infant, but interiorly, Mary and Joseph showed great reverence. Meanwhile, Satan was blinded by the Father to the birth of Jesus. Since Jesus was born in the usual way and in poverty, Satan was confused and disillusioned about this birth because he was expecting the Son of God to be born in a great, majestical way. If Satan had known this was the Son of God, he would have done what he could to prevent the crucifixion of Jesus, since this was Jesus' ultimate destiny to save the human race. Satan was also blinded about several events surrounding the birth of Jesus, such as the manner in which Jesus was born, Mary's virginity before and after the birth, the message from the angels to the shepherds and to the holy people, and he did not even see the big star in the sky that the Magi followed. He did not know why the Magi journeyed where they went, but he attributed it to some worldly event. The angel Gabriel told Mary and Joseph about the Magi and that they should stay at the cave until their arrival. The three kings were from Persia, Arabia, and some country called Saba, which I looked up, and I think it's now known as Yemen or Sheba, but then other places will call it Iraq or Babylon, so I'm not sure. Somewhere over there. I think they were all connected. The kings were very knowledgeable of the scriptures as well as the earth sciences. Although they were from different countries, these three were friends, and they often conversed with each other. When Jesus was born, an angel was sent to each of them and spoke to them in their dreams, revealing to them that Jesus was born, who was true God and true man, and that he was the expected Messiah that the people had been waiting for. They were to follow the great star as their guide. Each king was inspired to take a certain gift, one of gold, one of frankincense, and the other of myrrh. They were not aware of what each one was taking, and after following the star for a bit, they met each other on the road to Bethlehem. They got as far as Jerusalem, and then they lost sight of the star. So they began to ask around and find out where the king of the Jews was staying. And this is when Herod got heard of this. So he summoned the priests and the scribes to consult with them on where the Christ was to be born, according to the scriptures and prophets. They responded that according to the words of Micah, he was to be born in Bethlehem, since it was written by him that thence the ruler of Israel was to arise. So Herod then called for the Magi to inquire why they had come. And they, of course, told them that they were led here by a star to find the Messiah. Herod lied to them, telling them to report back to him after they find him so that he can also go and adore the new king. When the three kings left Jerusalem, they once again found the star to guide them, this time all the way to Bethlehem. When they arrived at the cave where the Holy Family was, the star hovered above that spot and slowly diminished in size until it rested over the head of the infant Jesus. The Magi then adored and worshiped Jesus and already had understood that Jesus was true God and true man, and that Mary was the virgin mother of him, and that Joseph was his foster father and not the biological father. They remained several hours with the Holy Family and then retired to a different place to spend the night. And while they were staying at the different lodging, they conversed among themselves about what they experienced and were made to understand many things by the inspirations from the angels and the Holy Spirit. They discussed among themselves how poor Mary and Joseph were and had many gifts sent over to them. The next morning, the kings returned to the cave and presented even more gifts, and these were the gifts of the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. In their humility, Mary and Joseph returned all the gifts from the kings, except for these three last things. Mary, in turn, gave some relics to these kings, such as some of the clothes that she used to swaddle Jesus in. And the kings then encased them in gold to preserve them. The kings protected these special gifts, and later these clothes were known to give off a strong special fragrance that was notable only among those who believed, and miracles were attributed to these relics as well. The Magi were instructed by an angel to not return the same way they had come because of Herod. And so a star was visible to them to follow to go home by another route. When the kings got back to their respective countries, they spread the word about Jesus and about the many things they learned from Mary and Joseph and the angels. And they were able to convert many people to a belief in the one true God and the way to salvation. When Mary and Joseph took leave of Bethlehem, they decided to donate their gifts from the three kings. And I always wondered what they did with the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And then Sister Agrita explains this. In order to continue to live in their voluntary poverty, they divided these gifts into three donations. So some of the frankincense, myrrh, and a third of the gold went to the Temple of Jerusalem. Another portion went to the priest who circumcised Jesus, so that he could use some of it himself and some for the temple in Bethlehem. And the third part went to the poor. The Blessed Virgin instructed Sister Agreda, as well as all of us, to always be reverential to God and not to become too presumptuous. Mary warns us that on account of not being mindful of this truth, many souls either make themselves unworthy or incapable of great blessings, or if they receive them, grow into a dangerous rudeness and torpidity, which offends the Lord very much. And that's a quote from Mary. Even though Mary and Joseph were given great blessings, knowledges, gifts, etc., they remained ever respectful of God and humbled themselves, knowing that they were made from the dust of the earth, and God is a supreme being who is so far above us. They never lost their reverence for Jesus, even when he was a baby. Mary always consulted God first before making any important decisions and relied on his providence to always take care of what was needed. By learning from Joseph and Mary's example, we can imitate both Mary and Joseph in their humility and reverence. Praise be to Jesus and Mary.